Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production hosted by myself, Johnny DiLoretto, and John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto. There was a quote from Roger Ebert at one point. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, "Movies are an empathy machine."
Nice.
And I love that because it is true. They, you know, I feel like sometimes if someone, you know, holds a set of beliefs that might be antithetical to yours and they sit down in front of a movie, that's probably in some ways your best chance of them understanding or feeling someone else's point of view or perspective.
Very nice. Yep.
It doesn't always translate, you know, they don't watch a movie and then suddenly they're a different person, but it at least gives them that chance to feel something, right? So there are two new films out, and I think, as you know, two older white guys, you know, looking out, not back on how the world is changing, I think these two movies reflect some of that, right?
Yeah.
So one of them is Shiva Baby,
right?
And the other one is Together. So okay. What did you feel? Both of them, by the way, directed by women. You're seeing
good
women direct more and more films.
Oh, yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
See, to guys like us, that's an exciting prospect.
It is.
But to other more toxic, old school guys, yeah, that they see that as a
that's
threat.
That's right. It's a real threat.
You know, the world is being pulled out from under them.
Well, first of all, they do call it Shiva Baby. There are variations of that.
Yeah, I know. Merriam-Webster says Shiva.
I know it.
Go ahead.
But I'm trying to go with their...
You say Shiva. I'll say
no,
Shiva.
But the movie itself says Shiva. When they mention it several times, they mention it as Shiva.
You say
I know
how you want to say it.
Yeah, I know. I got
you've
it.
Eaten up 30 or, seconds on this.
I can edit it.
That's, okay.
For me, Shiva Baby gives me a point of view about a transition in a culture.
And by the way, I dated a Jewish girl. They said Shiva.
Okay. So, and I know others who have said Shiva, too.
Okay.
And that's how I wanted to stay until I saw the film.
Let's just do it ourselves. Go ahead.
And therefore, I learned from Shiva Baby and from the point of view of our chief Shiva, who is...
Yeah. Rachel Sennett.
Yeah, playing Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned, the forces that were moving in on her as she goes to a Shiva, which can last a whole week.
Yeah.
And anyway, she's there with central casting Jewish people oppressing her, wanting to know what she's going to do with her life.
Yeah.
The poor kid is just graduating, and already they want to know if she's found the man. And this is all, that's all part of the convolution of this plot and of her future, because she is there and she is going through everything. I say, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that aunts who are Jewish and get you at something like that, Shiva, are going to oppress the heck out of you,
yeah,
about your future. So anyway, so I saw that. I saw what she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick Together. And to me, that is just a delightful new comedy.
Yeah.
And it would be a point.
It's kind of like an anti-rom-com. It looks and plays like a rom-com. And that's what it's gotten a lot of attention for, is that it does, you know, it stars Ed Helms and Patty Harrison. As you know, this guy is an older guy. He wants to raise a baby, and so he finds this surrogate woman to carry the child for him. And it's basically about their friendship, right?
Yes.
Now, a normal rom-com would somehow find ways to bring them together romantically. The movie studiously avoids that.
Yes.
Right. Especially now, because really these May-December things are frowned upon now. You know, it's
Jesus, only about 12 years difference. You're still calling it May, December.
In this instance, yeah, there's an older guy.
I know.
Right?
I'm just, from my perspective, man, that's pretty
it.
Young.
Listen, yeah. How many years are?
That's about 12 years between the two
of
them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just 40-ish.
Okay. All right. Interesting. But she seems to be, you know, hold a different perspective, like a younger person's perspective on life that would make it seem kind of out of whack that they got together.
Oh, it just doesn't fit. And yet when you look at their platonic love, you remember to yourself that actually you may have had girlfriends with whom this wouldn't be you, this would be me, with whom I didn't have a sexual relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I may still have some of those,
yeah,
which have a platonic relationship with, when there's not sex mixed up in there,
mm-hmm.
that can be a really beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
And do you think it adds a turn of the screw here that Patty Harrison is trans?
I do. I think it was it's an interesting thing to me because, first of all, I asked you about it.
Yes.
And you had seen the movie and had no idea.
Exactly.
And so then finding out, does it cast the movie in a different light in hindsight?
I am just so happy I didn't know that.
Okay.
Because I'd be looking at every flaw in her to see the masculine traits. So I took her as an exceptionally beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
and it worked.
Well, she is. See,
oh,
that's
yes,
the thing.
Dana.
And but for me, it's I'm watching it, and I know that, and I've been familiar with some of her work over the past couple of years, mm-hmm. and I was excited one to see her in a feature film,
mm-hmm.
and clearly she acquits herself very nicely opposite a tried and true comic actor like Ed Helms.
Yes.
She has, you know, a very kind of like she pulls herself into a slightly different direction or line readings on things that make her presence very interesting.
Yes.
However, I would say I felt like the movie in that regard was an experiment. I felt like, you know, them being together. I felt like the movie was guilty of the whole telling, not showing.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
It tells us they're getting closer, not showing us they're getting closer. It plays like a series of vignettes in which the writing seems to suggest that they're closer and the actors are playing it that way, but I never really felt it.
You may be asking too much in the short time because we have to go through the arc
asking
of
for a good movie.
Is she going to have a baby or not? And we never even get to see whether – well, in this case, we know she doesn't want the baby, I think. That's the good turn of this, is that she's not going to – it appears that she's not going to come back on him and say, I want that baby.
Exactly. That is another a trope that the movie kind of turns on its head, right? Because
yes.
you introduce a surrogate in a dramatic situation.
Yes,
you expect
exactly.
to happen, right? So they're playing with all kinds of different things. Ultimately, it was an enjoyable trifle. I enjoyed watching – these tropes being flipped.
Yes.
But I don't know that it actually holds up substantial than an experiment.
It holds up for me as a contrast to, say, a Judd Apatow film, where sex is going to be a part of everything that happens there.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's not, that to me is the true gift of this film, making something dramatically interesting, making it romantic. We have expectations or hopes that the two of them will be romantic. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. And that's a welcome relief.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
I did also think another complaint about the film was that Helms' character was so kind of weirdly domineering and sort of controlling.
Okay.
That it was hard for me to believe that a younger person like that in today's, you know, culture would allow it. You know?
Good. Yes.
Anyway.
And whether, you know, that's a great point. Whether she would allow it, given she's about 25, 26, mm-hmm. whether she would, that's a really good point. So this is a trifle for you, a little bit more than a trifle for me.
I do want to jump back real quick.
Yeah.
A Shiva Baby was not a trifle for me.
Okay, good.
I thought that was one of the better films I've seen this year.
Yes, yes, thank you.
An astonishing lead performance by this young woman who I've never seen before. And I think that movie it asks you to accept a couple of things that we have traditionally, again, like Together, have turned our noses up at, right? Like, so she is earning a living, working her way through college by doing a little prostitution through an app,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we're the movie has a point of view that is not condemning of that.
No, in fact, she actually appears to be bisexual.
Yes,
because her friend
that's
Maya.
Another thing.
Yeah.
In this traditional Jewish setting,
yes.
that we have a bisexual girl who's earning a living through a prostitution app, you know, and she. But you feel what you start to feel is that the culture at large is kind of, there are forces shaping her
yes.
that she can't quite
yes.
control.
Yes, and those forces which we see at the party are in fact not dominating her the way I had thought they would.
Yeah.
But they do, in as she endures them climbing all over her, trying to find out what her future is, I am gratified that she's able to get out of there.
I am too. And it's like this movie sort of plays like at an ironic remove, right? In some ways, it's like Boone Wells, The Exterminating Angel, where they can't get out of the party.
Great.
They can't leave.
Yeah.
But it wraps up really nicely with a hopeful thought about family and connection.
And I have one final question.
Way over time.
Are we? Well, I might use this as our podcast.
Yeah, this is what we should do.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Oh, you don't want to record the podcast?
No, wait. I can do that. I have the intros and everything ready to go. So if we go 15 minutes, for instance, 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, I was planning on doing that separately. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. We usually do, but now we're going long enough that I could just use that.
I got you. Okay. All right.
Let me ask this big question of you, my friend, and I know you're the best person I could ask. Is there any connection between this and the work of Woody Allen?
Oh, yeah. First of all, the font.
Isn't that funny? I know it.
Yeah,
yes,
the opening music and the font
that.
Was
you did
definitely,
see that, yeah.
Oh, of course. I'd notice that anytime someone does it. Which tells me, I always enjoy seeing that because I know that culturally and cinematically and artistically, people are divorcing themselves from that. But every once in a while, and for this to have been directed by a woman, look, those movies, his films are still influential. His sense of humor is still indisputably brilliant, right? And we've had this conversation many times about divorcing the artist from the art. So whenever I see something like this, when I know that that is definitely a nod, it gives me some hope that we're not going to completely shut ourselves off from the past and the things and picking and choosing from the past.
So do you hear anything about Woody Allen's take on Jews, for instance, on the Jewish culture? Do you see a difference between this film's take and Woody's take? There are certainly many parties in his films.
Well, I mean, Woody Allen has only focused on being Jewish, in the periphery of his movies. It's there. It's informing the sensibility. There are jokes about domineering mothers,
yes, right.
and Jewish guilt.
But you are so true, yes.
But this movie takes it and really kind of, like I said, puts her in this almost surreal situation where she can't escape this almost suffocating sense of duty and family and responsibility and professional ambition,
yes,
and education, like it's all coming down on her. And so in that regard, it was a lot different than Woody Allen. You like I said, you very rarely see him in an almost exclusively Jewish setting.
He's so much on New York culture, on our contemporary culture rather than Jewish. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And how he fits into that culture,
yes,
right?
Yes.
This is more about the Jewish culture itself.
Yeah, as we're winding down.
Yeah.
We might have any final words on this mashup. It was your idea, and I enjoy it very much, between these two films as I get out our...
Yeah, I just want to come back to this idea that, the world is changing. The movies have always reflected the world. Right? I mean, art in general always reflects the world that produces it. And, it's exciting to me to see, I used to, as a young film goer, I was always aware of female directors, directors of different colors. And it just seemed to be anomalous. And now it's so encouraging to see so many different voices.
Yes.
From all different kind of walks of life, and I think we need to talk about, the black films and black directed films that came out last year and that are continuing to be made. I had a question for you regarding this stuff. So you've heard the phrase representation matters, right?
Yeah.
And it's happening. Representation is being, it's more inclusive now. I feel like sometimes I'm seeing too much of this idea where we're just going to take an older property and remake it with black people or people of color in it.
Sure.
And to me, that seems like a, I don't know, that just seems short-sighted to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that I don't want to see a black James Bond or a black Superman, but I'm not sure what that accomplishes retroactively. What I want to see are newer stories like this.
I was just going to say.
Newer now forms we got of it. Representation.
Yes, and that's the way I feel. I feel this is a true and honest depiction where we can pick out right away the stereotypes and we can pick out the contemporary, the modern trend in it, and look at the two of those without being seduced either way. It is good.